Grant McCauley is here, our Braves insider. He also hosts From the Diamond, brought to you by Mark Spain. It's Dukes and Bell. Chris is in for Mike today. And Grant, feels like there's a lot going on with our Braves. Let's start first with what we saw last night, because they just find a way to get it done again. Dubon, man, biggest surprise so far this season? Has he been the biggest surprise for you?
And a couple of other. He's got to be at or near the top of the list. There have been a couple of other very pleasant surprises, including Dominic Smith. But from an everyday basis, which is essentially what Mauricio Dubon has been, even if his position changes, he's been terrific. I mean, it's just it's the clutch hits, it's the defense, it's the teammate, the fit, all of the things that Mauricio Dubon has done in a short amount of time to just feel like he belongs here. So, yeah, I would – you know what? We'll go ahead and make the ranking and put Mauricio Dubon number one and figure everybody else on the other side.
Grant, how important was it for Grant Holmes to get through six innings last night?
I think just a quality start is helpful, but as long as he looked good, whether it was five or six innings, I think you'd take that just because you were able to set up the bullpen the night before. And it's a lot of times going to be determined by matchups and things of that nature once you do get to that bullpen. But I think Grant Holmes has been a serviceable back-of-the-rotation starter. I don't think you've been really asking more of that from him. I think that if you look around at all 29 other teams, this is essentially what you have when you get to the other side of the rotation. We're not talking Chris Sale or Spencer Strider or even at this point what Bryce Elder has done or what you'd like to get out of a Schwellenbach or whoever else that would come back and affect this rotation. He's just been, I think, a stabilizer. But we'll see, you know, how long he stays in rotation once some of these other names are able to factor in for the Braves, or if they decide to do some really outside-the-box thinking as the year goes on and the trade deadline comes along.
Grant, all right, let's talk about a couple of different things. One, there's a rumor out there, Jeff Passan put it out there. I think it's kind of been in the ether. Do you feel like the Braves are going to trade for a pitcher? And if so, is it potentially Skubal, who we've been at least linked to, but we're not the only ones. There will be other teams. How do you feel about that?
No, there'll be other teams going after him if the Tigers decide to make him available. And there's not going to be a better rental player than a two-time reigning Cy Young Award winner in the American League if, in fact, he's going to be on the market. And, you know, he's going to be walking into free agency, so you are talking about a true rental. So I think that the cost obviously has to make sense on both sides. A, for the Tigers, if they decide to trade him, that they can cash in their chips if they don't believe he's coming back. And based on their arbitration situation this past year, I think Detroit might have overplayed its hand a little bit in those dealings. But that aside, I mean, there's not going to be a better pitcher available to go back to that. The Dodgers, clearly a team that has got some starting pitching problems and has a very good farm system and some very deep pockets, might decide, you know what, if we're staring at this collective bargaining agreement and we're about to have to break up the band to get below a certain level, which I assume they would have to, why don't we go in one more time and try to win another title? That could be a thing for them. I don't know. We'll see. But you could make the same argument for the Braves that, hey, if we're going to have to govern our moves differently in the future, why not go all in now? Put Tarik Skubal with Chris Sale, back in with a team that appears to be very complete outside of that, and make a run and try to win a title, and then you'll figure all the CBA stuff out on the other side. So the Braves have a wealth of pitching prospects, the likes of guys we've seen, whether that's Didier Fuentes or J.R. Richie, some others that we have yet to see at the big league level, including Cam Caminiti and some others. And you've also got some position player prospects. Those I'd be a little stingier with if we're talking about a three-month rental, even for a guy as good as Skubal. But the old saying goes, flags fly forever. What is the prospect going to be? Well, we don't know yet, but you'd certainly take another World Series flag. If you knew, you would certainly, I think, be more comfortable doing it. But this is the risk you take to try to win a title and put your club over the top, and many clubs are willing to take it, are the Braves. They're going to have to answer that, I think, in the next 6 or 8 weeks.
Grant, 2027 season, potential lockout, full lockout, whatever it may be. I think it's fairly safe to say, though, that your assessment of a true rental is accurate, because nothing to do with the Braves, but I think the price tag of what Skubal will be asking for would essentially price the Braves out. I think it would definitely be, if not far and away, the biggest contract they've ever given out for what Skubal would be looking for, right?
Yeah, and it would be. But, I mean, my question is, beyond the Braves, is what does it look like on the other side of that? Because, yes, you're talking about, you know, well, all 30 teams are going to spend to a floor now and there's a cap, but what in the world do some of the big spending clubs that are already at or over any perceived cap that we could reasonably guess along, which I don't know that it's even a good use of our time to guess along right now, but what is all this going to look like when they try to redistribute some of these players? Because if we got a salary cap of $245 million, you tell me who goes and who stays on the Los Angeles Dodgers, for example.
Yeah, it's a really good point. Hey, Braves trying to go for a sweep tonight. Chris Sale on the hill. It's easy to say this because we're 42-20, but as Turtle and I were getting into this conversation earlier, Grant, about Alex Anthopoulos, and I said the best decision actually was the managerial decision. Walt Weiss has been great. Describe what you think his secret has been so far this season. Is it just the management of the players, the relationships, or just the way he goes about his business?
No, I think he's done everything well, but you bring up the relationships, and that lends itself to the continuity of really a lot of what's been established. He understands the organization. He understands the Braves on a level where, you know, when you change organizations, you have to kind of come in and learn how they do it. And sure, you've got a say too, but it can be a process of trying to feel those things out. And I think that the Braves just knew what they had there, and they were very comfortable with making this change. And Walt has managed things his own way, just like he told me he would do in his managerial press conference. And when I asked about playing for this guy or coaching with this guy, you know, what do you take from this? And he's like, I take lots of stuff, but it's got to be my own voice, my own decisions, my own methods of doing it. And I think he's been able to stay true to that. And the number one thing that I see from Walt Weiss or hear from Walt Weiss is, you're not going to talk him into taking credit for 42-20. He will give that credit flat out to the players, to the coaches, to the people behind the scenes, to the people on support staffs, to the training staff, to just about everything other than how did Walt Weiss manage the club on this given day? And I think that kind of leadership and the, you know, ability to see that and, you know, have people follow you and know that you're not out there just kind of getting the credit for all of it, that this is to be equally distributed among everybody, we all share in that, I think is something that lends itself to the fabric of a really good, well-run club. And Walt Weiss has been a good arbiter of all of that, to use another $2 word.
So when it comes to the left field position, Grant, I'm not saying you need an all-star at every position, but the platoon of Dubon and Yaz is not exactly lighting the world on fire right now, as good as Dubon has been. Do you feel like that's an area that should be upgraded?
I don't really know. I don't know that that's the top of their list. I think if you were to make a or if you were to really take all of their possible needs out there, I don't think that that's at or near the top of my list. No, I think that starting rotation makes a lot more sense to me because, yes, you've got some guys getting healthy, but I still think that's the number one area of upgrade. I just don't think you pigeonhole yourself to one particular position. No, you're not looking for a new right fielder, a new first baseman, or a new third baseman, even if you're frustrated with a third baseman's production. I think, you know, outside of those spots, center field, second base, yeah, you've got guys that are there. Maybe it is a shortstop. Maybe it's a left fielder. Maybe it's just a big bat that you plug in at DH that just makes a ton of sense there. I don't think they're necessarily just looking at it like if we can only upgrade one spot, it's going to be left field. Can they get better there production-wise? Yes. Yaz has looked a lot better lately, though, so my level of worry about that is actually pretty low. And I'm honestly not looking for too many creative ways to take at bats away from Mauricio Dubon, considering what he's able to do, especially in the big situations. So, you know, I think that they're going to have some money to spend because they have the Jerks and Profar suspension money, amongst other things, that they could distribute some ways plural, to make the club better. And who's to say that maybe even adding yet another bullpen arm wouldn't be a bad idea for the Braves when you consider how important that could be in October?
What's the deal? Just want clarity on this Austin Wins situation. Mm-hmm. They traded for him, and what's it mean? Because I know they had to make a roster move there.
Yeah, not a lot. I mean, they shifted Sean Murphy to the 60-day IL, cleared a 40-man spot there. They had to bring up an outfielder who had a minor league opt-out and then optioned him back to the minors. And then they added Austin Wins, who they picked up from AAA for the Angels. And then they designated Chadwick Tromp for assignment. This was based on just the potential of maybe a little bit more offensive upside from Wins over the course of his career. He was really good last year. He was doing fine in AAA the last couple of weeks. Not that you really want to hang your hat on that. They just felt like there might be a little bit more punch there since they're going to be in a timeshare. for at least a couple of more weeks, it sounds like, till Drake Baldwin gets back.
Okay. Great stuff, Grant, as always, man. We'll see what happens tonight. Feels like there's just a lot going on with the Braves, and that's because there is. We'll see what Chris Sale does tonight. We'll talk to you tomorrow, man. Appreciate you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, that's Grant McCauley, guys. Check him out from the Diamond. We'll come back. People are saying he looked gas. I'm saying it's the coach's fault, or maybe we're just not giving credit where credit's due. It's Dukes and Bell.